Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you, hour number two. And as I told you earlier, we may be visited by a meteorologist this morning for about 5 minutes who's going to fill us in on what might be coming tonight, what might be coming on Sunday night. We've had a lot of questions about it. He has been at Channel 4 for many, many decades, WCMH. He's my favorite meteorologist in Columbus and maybe beyond, Ben Gelber. Ben, how are you?
Scott, good. How are you?
Doing well. Ben, fill us in. What's happening tonight? What's happening Sunday?
Well, first of all, this system is taking a more southerly trek, so we don't expect the substantial snows, which across northern Ohio earlier this week got up into the 4 to 10 inch range. And less 2 to 4 inches south of I-70. Now, that was the storm we just had to begin the week. This and that came up through West Virginia, by comparison, up toward Pittsburgh. This storm is going to track deeper across the mid-south. So I won't call it, I guess you would call it a glancing blow, maybe, as the storm pivots toward the mid-Atlantic coast late tomorrow. We'll have essentially, we'll be on the northwest edge of the moisture. So, in general, I think around an inch for northern Ohio from this storm, and then 2 to 3 inches as you get near and south of I-70, and 3 to 5 inches in southeastern Ohio. So you can see the distribution of snowfall is definitely farther south, which reflects the storm track.
Ben, what has been going on this February? The storm we had here in the last couple days, the storm that was here just a few weeks ago, the frigid temperatures, it's been a mess.
Right. This reminds me of February 2015 and maybe a little bit like February 2014. You may recall we had two back-to-back frigid winters. The second winter, which would have been February 15, got colder and colder and colder, just like this winter after a comparatively mild start. It happens sometimes, not often, but maybe once every 5 years. But this is special because the intensity of the cold, but also the persistence. It's one thing to get sub-zero weather and widespread coast-to-coast snows, maybe once or twice, but we have locked in now. Here it's February 17th, and it's been a very consistent pattern since we turned the calendar over to February as the lobe of the polar vortex pushed south across south-central Canada and kind of settled along the U.S.-Canadian border, but just a huge expanse of cold air, 50 states below freezing. It is just absolutely remarkable to see this, and then to see what we have had the last couple of days with my brother dealing with the rolling blackouts in Dallas, where the temperature fell to -2, which is the second coldest reading, -14 in Oklahoma City. We obviously saw snow on the Gulf of Mexico beaches, say around Galveston. We had extraordinary wind chills and low temperatures, wind chills 20, 30 below, all the way down into the southern plains, actual air temperatures as low as -51 in eastern Montana. Now, again, the northern portion of the country does get these incredible cold waves, at least by our standards, and we've been colder than this, of course. It's just that it has settled farther west. But I'm more impressed about how far south this has gone. Freezing rain on the New Mexico, Mexico, and Texas borders in the upper Rio Grande River Valley, just things you don't see. And that storm had initially brought a foot of snow to Seattle. So just a remarkable storm. And that storm in particular I'm talking about was the Monday-Tuesday storm for us that began last weekend when it came on shore. So if you can imagine this huge mound of Arctic air just covering everything from the Rockies to the eastern seaboard, and just completely dominating the weather pattern. Now, that lobe should weaken a little bit with time, but even after this storm goes by, another shot of, or at least reinforcing shot of cold air as we head into the weekend. There had been a suggestion of another storm on Monday. Models are not set on that, and that may not even happen. And temperatures next week should not be brutally cold as they have been this week, but still staying below average. Consider our normal high now is 35 to 40, and we're nowhere near that. Mm. I will add that in Marion this morning, the official low was -8, and that produced some ice fog. So, you know, we're getting a taste of what the Midwest has been experiencing in terms of cold mornings. And here in the city, here in Columbus, we ended a 714-day streak with a temperature at John Glenn Columbus International had not fallen below 10 degrees until this morning when it dropped to 5.
Isn't that something? Ben, one quick question before we let you go. For this type of weather, heavy snow, frigid temperatures, what is the most important thing for people to know to stay safe in their daily life?
Well, you know, we've probably are battle-tested here in the Midwest. I think it's more of a shock if you live in southern Texas and are dealing with temperatures like we are experiencing. But we all have to remember, especially when the wind chill kicks in, to make sure, you know, our gloves are on, our ears are covered. You know, doctors, and I've done stories many times on frostbite, say it's easy to get caught off guard if you're outside for, you know, any length of time. Maybe you're shoveling snow, and that's the other thing. You know, we often overdo it, shoveling snow and ice. And, you know, push, don't pull on the shovel. I mean, some of this sounds basic, but we're eager to get things done, and so we have to be careful. And for those of us, if anyone has, you know, whether it's a respiratory condition, a heart condition, maybe find a youngster to help do the work, and don't try to be a hero. And the same with the cold, just be smart about it. Now, we're not dealing with the exceptional chill, the wind chills of 20 below zero and lower that can be really dangerous, because that draws more heat away from the body than, say, when it's 8 below zero without a wind. But still, just be very careful. Of course, this morning was maybe a concern for pipes, where you run a very slight trickle of water. But, you know, we should start to come up back into the teens here later during the midday hour, so that will help. But I don't think the next cold blast will be quite as cold, but we could be back near below zero Friday night when sky's clear after this storm goes by.
Mm-hmm. Ben, thanks so much for calling in this morning. I really appreciate it. Stay safe.
You too, Scott. Thank you. A good day.
Bye-bye. WCMH Channel 4 meteorologist Ben Gelber. I believe the longest continuing serving weatherman at one station in the Columbus market at this point. Maybe around the country. He has been there at this point for quite a while. I think it's 40 years Ben has been there. An amazing run. Well, thank you, Ben Gilbert. That's the call I was talking about. Now, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And now we know that apparently tonight will only bring about an inch. So we're not looking at anything horrible tonight. And apparently the storm that was predicted, is predicted for Sunday, doesn't seem to be... It might not even happen at this point. And if it does, it might not be anything to talk about. But you never know. Weather changes. So we'll see what happens. And I think Ben would be the first to say that as well. But this storm tonight, probably not going to be a lot of change in that with the short amount of time we have between now and tomorrow. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, give us a buzz. Anything on your mind? It's always interesting to hear what you have to say. That's the fun of this show, is hearing what other people have to say. And Ben Gelber has been really, really good to me over the years. I have to say that. I just contacted him about an hour ago, probably less than an hour ago, and he called in, he did the weather report for us there, and has always just been a great guy, and a very nice man in person. When I've met him, I interviewed him once in person, I think on the 30th anniversary of his time at WCMH, and he was just, couldn't have been more hospitable, invited me into the studio, and a matter of fact, we did the interview in the studio. I remember thinking, that this is different. We were on the set. We were on the weather set doing the interview. That was a lot of fun. There's a picture of that somewhere. I don't know where, but there's a picture of that somewhere. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning there, ITTS.
Good morning.
How are you today in this minus 2 degrees outside? Ben was right. It was below zero in Marion. I don't know why it's 15 degrees colder in Marion than in Columbus. So that's kind of interesting. But he's right. I looked at the temperature, this weather app, which isn't that accurate, but it said minus 8 in Marion and 7 in Columbus. Kind of interesting. But I agree. Ben is my all-time favorite weatherman, and I've lived exclusively in four-season climates, St. Louis being the warmest, but Columbus and upstate New York, certainly four-season, and that's where weather's the most interesting, and Ben's done a great job. I sent him a text message through Facebook as we're connected, and he replied immediately and thanked me, and I told him I'm not as cool as Bernie, I don't have mittens, but at least I stay warm. I shoveled four times yesterday, Scott. I don't know. I think I burned more calories shoveling snow than I did at the gym. But as I say, if I look more buff next time you see me, you'll know why. That snow shoveling, it's quite a workout.
I tell you, it's been a few days around here, that's for sure.
Did you take an Uber this morning? How did you get to work? You didn't really say exactly.
No, I called. So I didn't take an Uber, but I did call somebody because, see, the Marion transit buses don't start running until 8. Normally, I would call the transit. I really would ride the transit bus. You know, it's not that.
Yeah, there's buses, but Marion has good bus service for a city that size, and Uber and Lyft and Uber Eats and DoorDash are all available. So there's a lot of resources for you. You don't have to be snowed in. You didn't really say, so I wasn't sure what the deal was. I live too far away, or I would have taken you.
No, I appreciate it.
I mean, I was pretty proud of my driveway, because you know, my car is low to the ground. It's RWD, and I shovel literally four times. I think the smart thing, because I'm using the scientific knowledge that's controversial to some people, I shoveled the ice pack, because I don't know if it's the same there, but at my area, we had ice pack first in like 2 inches of ice and compressed snow. So I shoveled that, and it was still fairly soft because it wasn't as cold. And then the fluffy snow fell, and we got 6 to 8 inches. It really wasn't too bad. And then it started compacting, as you said. Then I shoveled that, and now half my driveway is bare. I'm gonna do the entrance to my driveway and part of the sidewalk a little later, but I got the hard part. But yeah, you shovel, I mean, continually stooping, it really puts a workout on your back, but you know, no pain, no gain, so it does feel good. And
yeah.
I'm kind of like you. I don't mind shoveling snow. Plus, it's kind of a contest with your neighbors where you want to have the prettiest driveway. I don't like raking leaves. Raking leaves, mowing, and snow, raking leaves by far is the worst one because, you know, you rake the leaves. I got this huge silver maple in my yard. You rake the leaves, and half an hour later, it's back to where it was. You don't have the accomplishment like you do with grass and snow. So it is the worst of the worst.
Well, it's interesting because this is the first time I've talked to you on air since it's been an interesting week around here. So since I gave my state of the station here this morning, which I have to do now every morning.
We talked on Monday. Yeah, you gave a state of the station. That was pretty good.
Right. So what's been your feeling on everything that's been going on? I don't think we talked about that Monday.
Let's see. Should I try to say something that is allowable on the air?
Well, we got to be allowable on the air. Because you never know when they're going to come yank our plug at this point. You know, you never know.
What can I, you know, after a couple cups of coffee, I may get a little hyper and a little more aggressive, at least with my mouth. It was emailed, because I was thinking, okay, you know, I talk about our private email server, and in fact, I get emails, and that I handle the email. I'm the webmaster and the email person, I checked a couple things yesterday, Scott, and looking at, I think, the radio locator, you're familiar with that website where it shows what how far signal travels. I do some DXing. I'm in some DXing groups on Facebook, and they talk about that. And, of course, it's never really accurate. I got the station south of Waldo, almost to Delaware City, a few weeks ago, and it comes into Waldo, and it comes in just before you get to Upper, so we got a better signal than a lot of higher power stations, but it's a good place in the dial, I think. And the main thing is in that gospel station in Columbus. But just based upon their signal and the sunspots and that stuff, sometimes it's a really good day. But we were taken off the FCC's website. I was looking at that. We're not listed under stations in Marion, so that part about the station being deleted is correct. Now, the email was sent. It wasn't sent to you. You said because you have the AOL address, and that's what's posted on a radio locator.
Right. No,
I read it, but it was sent. It was sent to Sean. And,
I don't. You know, I can't. Here's what I will say. It was not sent to me because I have not been listed as the contact person.
I don't even know who's on the I'm one of the managers. I don't even know who's on the board. I guess that's kind of weird. I'll talk about that to you in private, of course.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's
issues where some of Sean's email address, he doesn't use all of them, but doesn't matter. They should confirm, and you should always ask for a return receipt and say, confirm receipt within 24 hours to make sure you got it. If I send an important email, if I send a text to one of my tenants, I mean, I'm going to say, just, okay, you don't have to pay what you owe me today, but just confirm you got the message. Call me, email me, send me a Facebook, send a carrier pigeon. At least know that I got that you got the message. And so something just does not smell right. They have not used attention to detail, and I would expect better out of the FCC because that's one government agency that does things by the book and does have good attention to detail.
Well, it's interesting. When I talked to them yesterday, they did confirm that they did send it out by email, but they also confirmed that during the pandemic, unless it's by statute, which apparently this was not, they are not sending things out by mail. And
it wasn't, because what I read, it was sent to Sean. Now, that's one of the, because we made MSN.com. I had a realtor friend of mine, and I had a acquaintance of mine. He actually works at a radio station in Cincinnati. It's a part-time job for him, but he's been in radio off and on. He's about your age. Of course, your age is about to change soon.
Hey, you know what, though? I want to make this point before you get onto this, that we made all these news sites. Now, two points I want to make about that. Number one, for you know, a little Marion, Ohio station here to be this important, hey, there's something good to be said about that.
Well, I'd like to see even WLW get a call from Sam Donaldson if something happens. I can assure you, Sam Donaldson doesn't call. Now, of course, they might get a call from Artie Brenneman, even Johnny Bench. And, you know, it depends. Are those people as famous as Sam Donaldson? Well, I would say Johnny Bench. And this is a biased opinion because I'm a much bigger Marty Brenneman fan. He's an idol than Johnny Bench, although I idolize him, too. It just, as a broadcaster, I just love Marty. I grew up with the guy. And we follow him on Facebook, him and his wife. I would say, you know, Johnny Bench is bigger than Sam Donaldson. But Marty Brenneman isn't because he's more regional. And Sam calls out of the blue. I thought it was planned. And I believe you. He was just sitting there listening at his home, you know, drinking his coffee, and he calls and just, you know, he'll call you next week, wish you a happy birthday, like he did last year. I believe he did last year. He just calls and says, "Don't worry about it. They're gonna have a hearing. Something just isn't right, and you know, we shall overcome." And again, Scott, do you think even WABC in New York, those huge stations, even they would get a call from Sam Donaldson on the morning show?
Well, that's right. That's the point I make. Even though this is not the best news in the world, the fact that it is getting this kind of traction, I don't know many stations.
And there is the irony. We will overcome. We will be bigger than ever because now we are well known. And we, as I told you in a message a couple days ago, when you turn a bad thing into a good thing, we are just going to rock. I mean, we already do, but the fact that we've overcome this, that we overcame this bullying, this, you know, I can say crapola, right? That's about the worst I'm going to say in this call, but, you know, you can say that. We've overcome that and more, harassment, libel, and slander, because I mean, this has gone beyond libel and slander, and we are bigger than ever, and we show that we are strong, and yes, Sam Donaldson is a friend of the station. You know, Mr. McFeely is, too. That's great. You know, sentimentally, I'd say he's higher on my list. But, I mean, just because I grew up watching the guy and because we've met him, he's been so nice. So these people are all friends of the station. Maybe Mr. McFeely should call because, you know, he was in the delivery business, and maybe he can explain why we didn't get those correspondences.
Well,
that could be kind of interesting.
Well, like I said, the FCC is allowed to do what they're allowed to do, and if I'm not criticizing the FCC at this point, I'm just saying that there has been a solution offered to this problem by the FCC. So I feel pretty good with them right now.
Yes, now, this is an answer to the complaint, which is unfounded anyway. Everything that SP has complained about, we've always shown to be overblown or just completely ridiculous, which, again, that's why I say libel and slander and who knows what else. As I've told people, like this guy Scott that I know who works in the Cincinnati Country Station, it's we always reply to the FCC. The FCC, they're upper hand. You always reply to them. I mean, they're just replying to them is like pulling over when a police officer flashes their lights. It doesn't mean that you're guilty, because many times you're not. Sometimes it's just your license plate light was out. Just get it fixed and go about your day. And that's our history. We've always been, and you said the guys have always been nice. They should. They're public servants. They work for us.
Yeah, perfectly
and
nice.
Why would we ignore this? And as I said, I didn't know. I thought it was postal mail, and then I just told Scott, how do you send postal mail during the Christmas season? Because it was sent in December, Christmas season, when mail is twice as slow as it already is. Something so important without a return receipt request and without any kind of request for acknowledgement. The whole thing, again, it just doesn't smell right.
Well, like I said, they said that they don't have to, and I believe them. I'm sure they know their statutes. And
yeah, they would know, but they understand that you asked for a confirmation. So it wasn't sent to Sean, because that's what I saw. It said
well,
Sean.
That's what I
the article kind of sounded like it was sent to your AOL address.
No.
So, you know, you would know to check. And this comes up with my clients. My customers aren't getting my email. Well, did you check your spam filter? I mean, you would check your spam folder. I mean, you would know that.
Well, right, on this one, I confirmed with them yesterday what email it was sent to. It was not my email. I am not on the board. I would not be somebody they would be contacting. So but it's interesting that they use my picture and everything. So I'm not really sure.
You are associated with the station. You are the face of the station. And that's good. You're the founder of the station. It's like what I call you, the plurality partner of the four partners. You are the most significant. Let's put it that way. But yeah, it's a plurality.
Yeah, but
not a majority. It's just kind of like the way people are elected. You don't have to have most of the votes; just more votes than anybody else.
Yeah, but you know when it comes to management, that's one thing. But when it comes to board, which these stations have to be governed by, I am not on the board, and I would not want to be on the board.
Right, people don't know. Scott, I don't. I've been with the station over 5 years. I didn't even know Glenn was on the board. I know there's been some change, and we'll talk about it privately. It's not a big deal. But you have the morning show. You're the one who's been in radio this long. I mean, Charlie was obviously very well known. So let's just pretend he were still with us. But people know he's a host. They know he's not really in management. I think that was kind of understood. You do the promotional announcements, I mean the news. So you're just kind of seen as the face of the station. And you know, people know all the stuff I do behind the scenes. You know, Scott and Terry also, they also do a lot behind the scenes. So we don't always know, but you're the one who is visible.
Right, and it's just interesting to me because, and I'm not saying anybody has done anything wrong here. I don't think anybody got the email. If they did, they certainly would not have.
All I can do is, and let me tell all other small business owners out there, if you don't already know this, because this comes up almost every day with my own clientele, you send an important email to somebody, an important postal mail, you know, carrier pigeon, whatever, ask them to confirm that they got it. You can use the return receipt requested on email, but it's not always accurate. Some email systems will block it. Some won't send it. It might go to spam. Call somebody and say, hello, Mr. Client, Mr. Tenant, Mr. Family Member. Did you get the email that I sent you? Did you check your spam folder? Because that's where it is 75% of the time if they didn't get it. And if not, send it again. Again, if anyone is a landlord like myself, I often use text or Facebook to communicate with tenants and handymen and handywomen. And so I say, did you get my message? And understand, you know, I'm not going to serve you with a notice today if you don't pay, but please do that within a few days or I'll have to do something I don't want to do. Sometimes people say, I never got the message, I just didn't check, I've been sleeping. Well, go ahead and check it, and this is the kind of the same thing. It's like we've been evicted from our license, but was it just? And I guess from the FCC standpoint it was, but they need to check, they need to have the continuity and the attention to detail to make sure that we or whoever it was sent to, got this message. And then we can go ahead and find it, because the whole thing is, I'm sure, completely ridiculous, because anything else that SP has filed is.
Right, but the bottom line of the whole thing is, like I've said this morning, worst case scenario, the only thing that the FCC really garners is the transmitter. You shut that off. TuneIn would continue on, which a ton of people listen on TuneIn.
And there are advantages. We could be a commercial station and make some serious, serious dough. But I like the idea of being on the air.
Well, yeah, I think we all like the idea of being on the air.
I told Scott, different Scott, must be a common name that comes up in this show, that I'd like to increase the wattage to 250. That's what we're allowed to do. And, you know, we're looking at a new studio and all kinds of other things just to make this great station even greater as an online presence and a local presence. So that's how I promoted it. We're local in Marion, but we have international reach. And you can be in any Marion, Ohio, but any other Marion in the world, or you can be in Australia and you can still listen. And if you forget to listen, that's okay. Just hear a tape of our previous shows. But the idea of just being able to tune in the car, the old-fashioned idea of the car radio with the buttons, there's just a coolness attached to that. I don't know why, but just kind of how I am. I'm sentimental about that stuff. I think you are also. Just the idea that you can just listen on a regular $9 radio from Walmart is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't want to lose the radio. All I'm saying is that if it were to happen, it's not like this station's going to go away.
Oh, no, we're not, but I don't want it to.
Right. Well, no, I don't think anybody does.
But, this the possibilities that we have, the direction that we can go, as there are no other pure local stations in Marion in a city of 35,000 people. That's something we can take advantage of.
Right. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. But regardless.
Just letting people know. You send it, and then, the FCC, if you're listening, if you send an important email or postal mail, please make sure that the party gets it. Things happen. I've hit delete on important emails just to be sure. No one will mind if you ask, did you get this correspondence? Because it certainly beats what the other result would be. In this case, we're dealing with all this, crapola again, which we shouldn't have to. And it's not fair to anybody. Our listeners, us, or even the FCC, because they got better things to do.
Well, we will see how it all ends, and that's the way it goes. Well, thanks, Adam.
No problem, Scott. Have a nice day, and you stay warm.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. And there we go. Phone lines are open. If it's been ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I am really amazed by the technology of these stations, though. That whole TuneIn app, which is free, it's just like radio, is fascinating to me that you can get this station without interruption, interference, anything, anywhere in the world, just on your cell phone. I mean, that is revolutionary. If you would have told people who were in the radio business that 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, they would have been blown away by that you wouldn't have to have a transmitter, you wouldn't have to have an antenna, you wouldn't have to have a radio in your house, which is sometimes kind of bulky, that you could have this thing in your hand that maybe weighed a pound, and all you'd have to do is push a button, and this radio station would come on in Australia, anywhere where there's signal. That's unbelievable. I mean, that to me still is. I think we do look at having it on a car radio as a unique thing, because it's been that way for 100 years. But the fact that these things can be transmitted in different ways, the transmission's amazing. I put things on YouTube that we have done on this station, and thousands of people will watch them. Thousands. There's something up there we did with Ted Williams back in December that has almost now been watched by 5,000 people. 5,000 people with no promotion on YouTube. 5,000 people. Now, I don't know how many people are listening here every day, but I don't know if it's 5,000 people is a lot of people. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Does anybody feel better now that Ben Gelber has called in and told us that we might only get an inch tonight, and that the Sunday storm is not looking likely at this point, but you never know. But doesn't look likely and doesn't look to have the snowfall accumulation that some other storms have had. 47 minutes past the hour. Also, National Act of Kindness Day. And by the way, we did get a call earlier, 740-692-3540. Dean, he plows snow here in the Marion area, and I know a lot of people need this, and maybe you'll need it tomorrow. Who knows? Depending on what happens tonight, but, you know, I tend to believe Ben Gelber that it will probably be just an inch or so, which will be good because we've got enough snow on the ground at this point anyway. 740-692-3540 for Dean. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good. How's things going over there?
You know, so far so good. Getting by.
Well, I hate this snow, by golly.
Now, isn't this snow something? My goodness.
It sucks. That's just the way I feel about it.
Oh, now, did you have somebody over to plow or dig you out?
He's on his way, as a matter of fact. I called him this morning. I told him I didn't need him earlier, but it's time to get her done now today, so.
Yeah, thank goodness. It's tough. I couldn't get the garage open this morning, so I had to get a ride here.
Oh, that's not good at all.
No, one of those things.
Yep. I was sending you some photos of some of the different things I had there, and I saw that you said you was wanting to stop over, so it'd be great to have you stop.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Some of the things you have in regard to Harding, and like I said, I'm always highly interested in radios from that era, the older era, and that still work.
Right.
Even the ones that don't work are interesting to me.
Yeah, they are neat to look at. You know, like I was telling you, the ones that are made by are like with Bakelite. It's a pre-plastic product. And I have one of those somewhere here. There's junk laying everywhere. Well, not really junk.
Well, you know, I was looking, after the last time we talked, I got to thinking about those old pill microphones from RCA.
Right.
And, you know, I went online and was looking at the price of these. My goodness, they are just astronomical.
They are sky high, aren't they?
Oh, even the ones that people aren't, that don't work anymore.
Right.
People are paying hundreds of dollars for. Where were you able to find those at?
Well, actually, yard sales. I don't go to auctions or anything. Most of the time it's been yard sales or people just stopping by here to sell me some of their stuff.
Well, it's so interesting because I don't know. What do you think it is about those microphones? Because clearly they have an appeal even when they don't work.
Truthfully, I don't know what's with them because, like you said, there is an appeal for them. But I didn't think that they were that... they weren't meant to be that costly, is my thinking on it.
No, and the people who bought those back in those days, I know they were expensive, but in today's money, it wouldn't have been anywhere near what they're asking for broken ones.
Exactly.
People who bought those back then are probably thinking, what in the world is with these microphones?
I looked up that on-air sign that I have. It's aluminum piece, and it has the red glass and the white letters lit from behind, and it says on air. When they went on air, they would flick on the switch so nobody just walked in the studio.
Yeah, those are very neat. I've always found those fascinating. You know, we have never really used one of those here, but there are things in radio that have become very nostalgia, and I think those pill microphones are one, the on-air signs are one, and radios of that era when people just had radios.
Right, 30s, 40s, and 50s,
They're very... why do you think that's... I think it has something to do with the era. Why do you think that's such a sentimental era?
truthfully, I really don't know what the draw is for it, but there's many people, including myself, that is drawn to the old stuff, the old era, anything, radios, pocket watches, straight razors, just a gambit. Like over here, I'm looking at about 15 old harmonicas, and I have one from 1899, and it's a pretty neat piece, you know.
No,
it's really not that valuable, that old one, but Most of them range $10 to $20, but I have a one that's called a Chromatics by Suzuki, and it's a $350 harmonica itself.
Well, it's just there, that period, I don't know if it's because we were really on the cusp of technology, because I don't think people ever thought of radio, that you'd be able to put something in your home and hear the voice of somebody who's in a completely different place. And I think people were doing things in that era kind of like the internet age. You know, when nobody ever thought anything like that could happen. Well, when it happened, then all of a sudden, very quickly after, we had cell phones, we had texting, we had social media. I think when something goes so well that people think is unbelievable, then all these other things pop up as
it
well.
It all goes, you know, hand in hand. It just starts with one thing and progresses to another. And yeah, you're right on that. The technology has become really, you know, just hard to believe some of this stuff has happened, you know.
Well, like I always tell somebody, you know, I have always wanted one of those pill microphones, because even if it doesn't work, because I don't even know if one did work, if I would ever hook it up. It's just interesting to sit and stare, you know, put it in a case. I mean, I've seen these in people's living rooms in glass cases.
I was just thinking something else. I had bought an old Heath kit, which was a build-your-own radio at the time, and it was a pretty neat piece. I've sold it since then, but there are people into the CB area stuff that's, the technology with those has climbed, well, out of sight, actually, the newer ones, but some of the older ones were pretty neat at the time when I had mine in the 70s.
So have you come across anything interesting as of late?
Let me think now. What has come in? Oh, yeah, some old crystals. I've got a yellow, I've got a smoky quartz crystal, and a clear crystal, and a bunch of old stones.
You know, all that stuff's interesting. Now, at this point, how do people, I mean, are you looking for mostly to sell things or collect things?
I did it for the collectibles for my children. But now that my children do not want it, it's time to sell. You know, I think everybody that had done that years back, including myself, thought, well, this will be a nice retirement part, and it will give my children something, you know, to help them along if need be. Well, they haven't needed it, of course, and they don't have time to do what I do by researching pieces and, you know, getting a value, and they just don't have time. So now it's time for me to sell.
Absolutely.
Coins, pocket watches, and old paper money, and radios, anything that I have here is up for sale, of course, but, you know, there's just some nice items here that if people were to, you know, call or stop over and see what I have, I think that they'd be pretty interested.
You know, I have a question for you. This past weekend, I won't say the place because, you know, it's unimportant to the story, but I did think about this. I was over, I was out of town this past weekend. I went over to Amish country, and on the way back, I stopped at a place that is kind of, I don't know if you consider it more an antique shop or if you would consider it more of just like a thrift place. I'm not really sure what they consider it. But what shocked me about it was the people there selling the stuff. We all think things are overpriced, I guess, because you always want to pay the least you can. It's the way with yard sales and things. But some of these people who are in this, I assume they do it either for a business or I'm not sure. Clearly, this stuff is high priced and they don't budge, and clearly that's why it's been sitting there with dust on it.
You're right.
What do you think that mentality is, being around?
Well, everybody in the buy-sell trade really would like to get top dollar for everything, myself included. But you have to be reasonable about it also. I mean, if you pay $3 for something and you want $5, then you knock it down to $4. That person's happy. I'm happy.
Well, and that's the thing, and I'll tell you just what the situation was. It's kind of funny. A few weeks ago, I was in a Goodwill out of town, and I found, these things, you know, silly things interest me, but what it was a George W. Bush, pretty good-sized, talking George W. Bush. Must have been put out during his term. And it still worked, and it was still in the box.
Wow.
And Goodwill had it for $3.
Mm-hmm.
$3. So, of course, I bought it, and now it sits at home, and I enjoy it, and it's great. Now, this past weekend, I was at this place I'm telling you about, and there was a Bill Clinton that was probably made about the same time.
Right.
Now, it wasn't in the box, and not nearly as good a condition as the one I bought for $3 at the Goodwill for George W. Bush. And I asked, and clearly it had been sitting there for a while. And I said to the guy, of course I'm going to inquire about this. You know, how much is this? And I think, I don't want to misquote this, but, you know, he was at 20 and he wasn't going anywhere. And I thought, you know, I didn't bring up to him that I just paid $3 for George W. Bush, which is true.
Right.
But that was just a... And I'm not saying he had to come down to $3. I'm just saying there was no budging from the 20, and that was it. And I thought, well, you know, clearly people aren't buying this for 20, or it wouldn't be here forever.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
Some people just are... Well, we'll not go there.
That's exactly... Well, I am going to get... Hopefully, if we do not get any more bad weather, because this weekend, I don't think there's... just had a couple busy weekends. This weekend should not be bad. I'm definitely going to make it over.
Oh, that'd be great. Like I said, you know, it's not a rush. It'll be here for quite some time yet, I'm sure. So, you know, weather is holding you up, and I do understand that.
Oh,
I still have a foot of snow on my porch yet, and my guy is supposed to come today and clear it all off, but... I was amazed at all that snow.
Oh, it was something, absolutely.
I'm totally sick of it. I'm waiting to get my hot rod out and enjoy it.
That's right. Hopefully April. They're saying April is supposed to be warmer than normal. So if we can just get through this and next month, maybe we'll be in good shape.
Well, you know what? Next week, as far as that goes, later on in the week, it's supposed to be in the 40s, for goodness sake.
Yeah, and I think maybe that will be the end of the horrible snow and the horrible cold. I mean, we are getting, you know, spring is March 21st. We're not that far from it.
That's a fact, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I enjoy driving my hot rod around, and can't do it in this kind of weather, so we have to wait for the good stuff. So
absolutely. Wait, it's good to hear from you. I'll be in touch.
All right, my friend. You have a great day, and take care of yourself, and hope to see you.
You too. Stay well. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right. Well, we've had some great conversations here this morning. Ben Gelber and, of course, Adam Lepp and our friend there, Al Weichel, who's always become an I enjoy that he calls in because I'm interested in stuff like that. Like I said, my... old radios, not the 60s and 70s, but, you know, back when they were in people's homes. You know what kind of look I'm talking about. And one of those pill microphones, even if they don't work, has always been something I have wanted. And it's not been a big want. It's not like I'm going to drop dead if I don't get it. But I've been looking for one of those forever. I think I would put it in a glass case even if it was broken. Because I have searched and searched. And I would never want anybody to pay the hundreds of dollars that they try to charge for these things on eBay and other places. But, you know, maybe one day one will just pop up. And people won't know what they have. Glenn Coble joining the discussion in about 15 minutes.
So there's coffee.
I got a friend out there.
There's
I
bring her
she's
there's a T-bone steak and.
Charlie, you know what you're gonna get? Five fingers.
Well, we can give you a delivery to take out to your friend.
Yeah.
And question, so you don't know it. You don't know. But I wish.